pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. Scientists have developed a spray that makes men want to cuddle. You excited for that?
Tony Kornheiser, I'm excited for us. Come over here.
Sounds
give me
like
a
those
kiss.
Scientists got to you with that spray already.
You're so far away.
What do you think's
You're
in that
Arizona.
Spray?
You're in Arizona. Pheromones.
Right.
Pheromones are in that spray.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sounds dangerous.
A double shot of my baby's love in terms of pheromones. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Caps collapse, Tigers tough round, and kidney stones. But we begin today with a choking dog performance by the Washington Capitals. They were ousted from the playoffs last night at home by Montreal. They became the first number one seed ever to lose to a number eight seed after holding a 3-1 lead in games ever.
Ugh.
The Caps were the best team in hockey this season, the highest scoring team in hockey, and they went 1-for-33 on power plays during this series. Wilbon, you live, you do in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
How bad of a loss is this?
It's bad, Tone. I mean, it's not historically bad in that there have been teams in hockey, at least a couple, who've come back from 3-0 deficits. It's not Yankees, Red Sox bad. And in the NHL, as we pointed out, going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, number one seeds lose all the time. President Cup teams lose all the time.
It's
being
awful.
Number one overall
it's
seed.
It's awful. Don't excuse
five
it.
Five times
awful.
In 20 years. But
just
having
Sal
qualifying a little bit.
Awful.
To have Alex Ovechkin, one of the great players, maybe the best player in the league.
It's not
and
the
to
best
choke
player in the league.
Like this against a number eight seed is unthinkable.
Sidney Crosby is the best player of the league, as you pointed out a million times. Look, they're the highest scoring team in hockey. In their last three games, they get one goal, and one goal.
Unacceptable.
Doesn't give you a whole lot of chances to win. This is in a pretty short history. They only started making the playoffs in the mid-80s.
Right.
Seven different times, they've either been up 2-0 in a five-game series, or 3-1-7, and they've lost it. So they're 0-21 in those clinching games. And yet, I don't think you fire a coach. I don't think you make a trade. You had a great team. You go.
You
got to
make a
year.
Trade.
No, Tony,
you got to make a trade. I'm not saying one of the principals. I'm not saying you dump Ovechkin, by the way, who has to take a hit.
Oh, no.
And he's got to be a bigger leader, and he's got to take some accountability for this. But you have to mix it up. Maybe get some more grit. Maybe get a couple of defensive.
Go get Halak.
You got to shake it up a
guy.
Little.
Go get the guy just stoned you for three games.
I don't
games.
Think Montreal's going to be giving him up anytime soon. Let's go from choking to a guy who knows something about winning championships, even though he struggled today. Tiger Woods shot a 2-over-74, called his round terrible. He went double bogey bogey in three consecutive holes, which is a great imitation of me putting it in the water twice. Tony, one of us said yesterday Tiger needs a little while longer before getting back in the winner's circle. The other of us was you. So, explain yourself.
Do you have this on tape that I somehow said that Tiger was going to win this tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the leader right now is -7, Tiger's +2, so he's 9 back. But this is like the first quarter of an NBA game. I mean, Tiger, we're going to presume Tiger's going to make the cut.
He better have a nice second quarter or he may miss the cut.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he needs more than one tournament. I looked at -11 at Augusta, and I said he's ready to win right now. I think it should be pointed out that the crowd, and this is a crowd now, these are no longer patrons, these are crowds.
Yeah.
They were very kind to him. They cheered him all the way around. There was no particular incident. I think he needed this round to test that. I'll bet he was nervous. You exhale, you get back in the tournament.
Tony, I think that's a reasonable point to make. Charlotte is not exactly, that's not like being out here at the Phoenix tournament.
No, it's not rowdy like
that.
Wild
in a cocktail party. No, it's not like that.
But
look, as great as Tiger Woods is, winning in his second time out would amount to, after one time, the Masters, would amount to walking it off the street and winning a golf tournament. As you know,
but he's done
as
that.
Much as I love to watch Tiger Woods, no, he hasn't
he's done that.
That.
He's had injuries and he's come back and he's won
right
away.
Yeah, but he was in some sort of routine and he didn't have the baggage that he's carrying around now. And this is not the sort of baggage you just put in the overhead.
Do
okay?
you still
big baggage.
Do you still believe he's the best golfer in the game, yes or no?
Yes, I do. And I think he'll show that later in the summer, but not in tournament number two.
We move now to the NBA series we had hoped never to mention, the Bucks and Hawks. But last night, the Bucks won their third straight game, and this one included a terrific fourth quarter comeback in Atlanta. Wilbon, you had Atlanta winning this game. What happened to your boys?
No, they're not my boys, Tony. You know, people like to praise basketball IQ. If we talk about basketball IQ with the Atlanta Hawks, if it was any lower, it would be this bottle of water. You can't believe the talent on that team. that those guys do the dumb things they do. Hey, I'm sorry. Because individually, I'd like to have a lot of those players. I mean, there's a lot of guys like Mike Bibby you like individually. Josh Smith, collectively, not getting it done. Your best player from Milwaukee's out, Andrew Bogut, and they are getting it done. That's why I voted for Scott Skiles, my coach of the year, and Milwaukee's going to win that series and move on, which is
unthinkable. Not only is your best player, Andrew Bogut, out, but the best player in the whole roster, Michael Redd, haven't played in quite some time.
Been out months. That's
you
right.
would take the talent on Atlanta over the talent on
100
Milwaukee.
100 times.
100 times out of 100. Milwaukee, you'd take the slogan, fear the deer.
Yeah.
My problem with Atlanta is I think they're basically a choking dog team on a lot of levels. This is the first year where you would say they are realistically expected to do something relatively special, certainly in terms of their history, and they're gagging. They are gagging it up.
My man John Berry, Tony, pointed out a great stat. At one point, they had lost like 9 straight games, road playoff games, and the closest one was by 25. Now, they're getting closer. These are single-digit games. But now they lose at home, too? They got a 10-point lead?
I think Mike Woodson has to shave his eyebrows again. Don't you?
I don't know if that's going to help.
I think that's going to help.
The NCAA couldn't make a big enough mess of the men's basketball tournament. So now it has turned its attention to college football's bowl season. As if there aren't too many games already in the bowl season, the addition of one more brings the total to 35. That requires 70 teams with records of 500 or better. But the last few years, Tone, there have only been 72 such teams, so we run the risk now of looking at teams with losing records in bowl games. Tony, you're an apologist for the NCAA all the time.
Yes.
So tell us how that scenario is going to play out.
Yes, I'm going to do my best to apologize for the NCAA by saying this. There cannot be allowed that teams with losing records go to bowl games. 70 teams out of how many? 120
with playing
D1 football. You know, this is not the basketball tournament where a team can win its conference tournament because all the teams play in the conference tournament, unlike football. And then it's charming if a team with a losing record gets in. I understand that. This is awful. There are many too many bowl games, even if they're churning out money. And if you let a team with a losing record in, you have made a mockery out of everything that your sport stands for. So you have to legislate against it. You have to just dump the bowl game.
The
if
NCAA
it happens.
Is determined to cheapen the postseason of every both the two sports, the revenue producing sports.
Well, I don't think they cheapen the first one by going to 68.
Well, No. I'm talking about when they try to go to 96.
Well, they're in 68
now. As recently as 1996, there were 18 bowl games. Well, that means in the last 15 years, they've almost doubled the number of bowl games.
What do you need with Joe's Bail Bonds Bowl? What am I, honestly? Who's that helping?
That one could be fun, actually.
Now we turn to another chapter of medical marvels. While his team was batting in the 8th inning on Monday, Colorado Rockies catcher Miguel Olivo passed a kidney stone. He was back behind the plate in the top of the 9th. Olivo explained, quote, "Believe me, it's not fun. Sometimes when I got that thing, I just want to die. But I can handle pain a little bit. Once it's gone, I'm good. Let's play baseball," unquote. Well, money's surprised at this behavior.
You know, Tony, I guess I'm not surprised when professional athletes exhibit toughness that the rest of us cannot identify with. I mean, it just seems sort of crazy on so many levels. I mean, it just sort of grosses me out.
He got a hit. He went back in the ninth, got
you
a
know
hit.
What? If this was the playoffs, again, toughness is amazing. It is. And the ability to concentrate through pain, it's superhuman.
Right.
And the rest of us don't even understand it.
Right.
Is it necessary in April baseball to do this?
Apparently, he's had this condition for a few years, and these kidney stones are recurring. I consider myself very lucky. I've never had a kidney stone. I don't want it.
People hear about how difficult,
they say it's awful. But they also say that the moment it is passed, you are good to go. You're ready to run a mile. So guy did get a hit.
Again, marvel at it. Is it necessary? It's not October. They're not in the playoffs yet. What are they playing for at this point?
He's tough. He should be a hockey player. Time for a break. When we return, we will try to get Doc Rivers to admit how happy he was to see LeBron clutching his elbow the other night.
And later, could a loss tonight actually cost Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle his job? Whoa.
Get the latest soccer news both on and off the field with the SoccerNet podcast. Download it now at the iTunes Music Store and at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
All anyone says is that the Celtics are OLD old. Well, listen up, you little punks. We're old. We like old.
Yeah.
So let's bring on a coach of the old Celtics, Doc Rivers. Here we go. All right, Doc, admit it. Your strategy against the Cavaliers is now based on a lot of accidental contact with the elbow of LeBron James, right?
I can't hear you. I'm too old. What did you just say? Well, you know, I've heard a lot about this elbow thing, and no, we're just going to come out and play. You know, I was joking with guys today. If he shoots left-handed for four games in a row, then I'll believe he's injured. Other than that, LeBron's going to be LeBron. He's a great player, and he's going to try to be great in our series. We know that.
Doc, you are not that old yet, but you are old school. And some of your playing days came for the New York Knicks and during an era in which people, if they thought there was a little boo-boo, would take a shot. I mean, that's permissible, right? Or is that out of the league these days?
Well, I don't remember that with the Knicks. You know, I thought we were one of the cleaner teams to ever play the game, actually, Michael. But, yeah, back in that day, if you wore a bandage or anything like that, you know, guys would target it. But it still wasn't dirty. You know, it was more accepted. I don't know if that's part of the game anymore. I don't know if that should be a part of the game anymore. I don't know. We just have to come out and focus on playing hard and playing physical for 48 minutes.
Let me go back to age for a second. I'm certainly one of those people who's pointed out that the Celtics collectively with their star players are pretty old. At least there's so many.
I've heard you.
Yeah, and so many questions about age going into the series with Miami. Are you surprised at how well everything went in that series?
Well, we had a lot of rest going into the series, guys. We made a conscious choice going into the last month of the season to get rest, to get healthy, to do whatever we could to try to maintain our rhythm, but get our rest. So we are an old team. I don't think we're going to hide from that at all. But we're fresh right now and we're ready to play. So I was happy that we could finish off Miami in five. Dwayne Wade made that very difficult. I mean, they played hard against us every night and really competed. So I was really happy to get that series over with.
There has been unrelenting criticism of Rasheed Wallace over the course of the season. What do you need from him that you feel you're not getting right now?
Well, he didn't get a lot of minutes in the Miami series, and he'll get more in this series. The pick-and-roll coverage in the Miami series with Wade involved concerned us. I think this is going to be a very good series for Rasheed. We need post play out of him. We need him to stretch the floor with his shot. And we need him to be a great defender for us. And I think he can do all three of those things.
Speaking of big guys, I want to ask you about, well, I know I'm not supposed to call him Big Baby anymore, another Glenn, who seems to be a vulnerable young man at this point, Doc, but also a very valuable player. Where is your confidence in him right now?
Oh, it's very good. I mean, you know, I still call him Big Baby, so you can as well. You know, he's just got to be consistent, and I think, you know, he's maturing, and I think he's becoming a more consistent basketball player. You know, early in his career, if he had a big game, I used to kid him. I thought he wanted to, like, have a parade after each good game. Now he just kind of has a good game, and he's moving on to the next game. And that's just part of him getting older in the league and understanding that one game is good, but you got to be consistent, and you got to continue to do it.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. You've talked about your team. You've talked about the other team. Now we're going to ask you about you. A lot of stories in Boston recently about your future, that you might want to step away from coaching, watch your children play in high school and college. Where does that stand right now with you in the future?
Oh, it's no different than it's been the last 3 years, guys. You know, every summer I go home, and I think about it. I really do. And, you know, someday I will. You know, I have four kids, and you don't get that time back. And so every year you just got to think about it, and it'll be no different. You know, I don't know why it was a story, because we've done it the last 3 years, and it hasn't been. But now that it's out there, you got to answer the questions. And I am in no different place than I was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, or last year.
Thank you so much for joining us, Doc.
Good luck. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
Hey, congratulations on finally getting an Emmy. It's about time, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's take a break. When we come back, will we have an original six Stanley Cup?
That'd be all right with me. And could Tyreke Evans ever make the leap from Rookie of the Year to MVP? You know, Tom, I had him all season as my Rookie of the Year. You knew that, right?
Yeah, you didn't have Brandon Jennings ever. You didn't have Steph Curry ever, did you? Maybe at the
maybe.
End? Maybe. Maybe on your ballot?
The dog ate my ballot. Yeah. I'm not sure I can check.
Okay. Let's make sure about that.
Racing fans, get the latest news from NASCAR from the J-Ski Podcast featuring Mark Garrow. Download for free at iTunes or on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.
Ah, welcome to the PTI Psychic Hotline, where we peer into the future to bring you answers from the great beyond. I didn't get dolled up in these fancy duds for nothing, so I'll take the first call.
Hey, Tony and Mike. This is Jana. Do you see David Stern upping the dollar amount on his fines for criticizing officials?
I'm calling out Stern right now. He said, go ahead, make my day. And Dwight Howard made his day, and he fined him the same measly 35 grand he's fined everybody else. He is all hat, no cattle. You want to be Clint Eastwood? Man up, take off the skirt, and we'll give you a Miller Lite. Simple as that.
I saw the future yesterday. I'm bored with this question. I told you definitively at the end of yesterday's show, Dwight Howard would be fined $35,000. And I was so certain of it, I told you, let's bet the difference when you said he'd be fined 100 grand. So why are we dealing with a question I already saw the future of an answer?
Why does David Stern say, go ahead and make my day? Somebody makes his day, doesn't do anything. What's the point
grand?
In that?
That's a nice amount.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. Do you see Mark Cuban firing Rick Carlisle if the Mavericks lose tonight?
I don't. He's already fired Don Nelson. He's already fired Avery Johnson. Now you want him to fire Rick Carlisle. Look, this team wins 50 games every year no matter who the coach is. It gasses in the playoffs every year no matter who the coach is. Maybe it is a player problem and not a coach problem. It makes no sense to change coaches.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have to be pinned more on the star player, Dirk Nowitzki, than it's going to be on the coach if they fail to get out of this round. And it is San Antonio. This ain't some chump team. This ain't Atlanta.
But they finished ahead of them.
Playing.
They had more wins.
Well, the other thing is, here's, you don't fire the coach. This team was put together a little late with those trades. They don't know each other as well as the San Antonio Spurs, the principals who've been together for like 7, 8, 9
years. Yeah, so let them go to dinner.
You're not going to fire
them. Let them go to dinner. Let them get a carpool together. What's next?
Hi, guys. It's Lou. Do you see NBA Rookie of the Year Tyreke Evans ever winning the MVP?
Not now, not ever. Okay, it's not going to happen. First of all, he's a point guard. Other than Steve Nash, it's rare that a point guard wins this award. How's he going to beat LeBron James? How's he going to beat Kevin Durant? He's not a better point guard than Derrick Rose. He's not a better point guard than Deron Williams. How exactly is he supposed to win this award?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, Tony. You mentioned the principals. LeBron, Kevin Durant. Don't forget Dwight Howard, because centers used to win this thing all the time.
Yes.
And as we know, his coach is lobbying already for him. You mentioned Deron Williams. Don't forget Chris Paul. Now that he's back. Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, who can put up 30-plus a game. Now, Tyreke Evans, who won this award, is a terrific young player, Tone, and he can fill up a stat sheet.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. Depends on who else is drafted and joins him.
He's so good, you didn't even look in the future to vote for him. You voted for somebody else. Next!
Hey, guys, this is Gary. Just wondering, do you see two of the original six teams in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, there are four left, and none of them plays each other, so it's possible that most can advance. All right, and there's not a guaranteed out in this next series. Now, I've got Chicago and Detroit meeting in the Western Conference Finals, so that's going to eliminate one. And I got to say, I don't see Boston or Montreal getting it. I don't see Halak, you know, as the next Ken Dryden. So I'm going to have to go under in this game.
All right, if we're telling the future, to me it looks like a third straight, a hat trick for Detroit and Pittsburgh. That's what it looks like to me. I am rooting, of course, for the Blackhawks.
Right.
I would like to see the Blackhawks and the Bruins. I don't want to see Detroit in the next round, but Detroit, of course, is going to be San Jose. And that's another fortune I would have predicted, Tony, for Fortune Teller, Detroit winning the Stanley Cup in Original 16.
And that is all for Fortune Teller. But in our near future, look out. The Once Lonely Pirates are on a win streak.
And one member of the Hoodie Brotherhood reaches out to another. I got a Blackhawks hoodie, a Bobby Hull hoodie. Can I wear it?
They have the best jerseys in the whole league.
I'm going to wear my Bobby Hull Blackhawks hoodie one day.
Very good. You should do that.
We're going to lose to Detroit.
How about Stan McKeon?
I'm terrified. Terrified.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Jay Cutler, starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And so I ask you, Mr. Bear, you hated this guy, then you loved this guy, then you hated this guy again. Where do you stand on Jay Cutler right now?
Love him. Love him and Mike Martz. All my anger now and frustration is directed at the Cubs. I have no time to get angry at the Bears.
You hated
yet.
Marts in St. Louis. You hated Marts in Detroit.
Like him in Chicago. Love him.
Happy anniversary, Houston Texans. On this day 4 years ago, the Texans surprised everyone by taking defensive lineman Mario Williams with the number one pick in the draft over the vastly more famous and higher regarded Reggie Bush and Vince Young. Here's how that worked out. Mario Williams twice has been an All-Pro. Bush and Young, nada.
If I was Charlie Casserly, I would walk around pointing in people's chests all the time saying, I'm sorry, I got that right.
Happy trails, Nene. The Nuggets beat the Jazz last night, but starting center Nene sprained his knee. He is out for game six. Wilbon, can the Nuggets win the series without Nene?
In a 6-4 and under league, maybe. I guess they're undersized already. And now no Nene, it's going to be tough, Tony. In Salt Lake City, I don't see them.
So you are predicting Utah will win the series?
Predicting Utah will win.
Trying to find out where we messed up reality.
You guys were smooth today. You were just talking about Mario Williams, Tone. Vince Young did make a Pro Bowl his rookie season, just to point that out. The NBA Rookie of the Year voting, Wilbon. We talked about Tyreek Evans winning it. Second was Stephen Curry. And third was Brandon Jennings. Fourth, Darren Collison. Who'd you vote for again? I don't remember.
Steph Curry, I voted for, reality, and it was torn all the way.
But it was very close. You switched it like three times.
Yep,
19 times you switched it. All right, Wilbon, what did we miss?
I missed Law & Order SVU last night, the debut of Sharon Stone's four-episode run on Law & Order SVU as Joe Marlowe. Mariska Hargitay, Sharon Stone, that's pretty good TV watching, don't you think?
Why would Sharon Stone play a guy named Joe? What you shouldn't have missed
was a guy.
Is what I said, the early hook for Siobhan. On Idol, setting up finally
Stop
Crystal and Lee.
Idol.
We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including a big-name candidate to coach the Sixers.
Idol's jumped the shark. We're back in a few minutes. Until then, SportsCenter.
Sharon Stone as a guy has jumped the shark.
I don't think
Joe.
So.
Good night, Canada. Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, the Washington Capitals blew a 3-1 series lead to the eighth seed. Biggest choke ever?
No. No, not as big as the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1975, being up 3-0 on the Islanders, who went on to win that series four straight. Not as big a choke as the Red Wings back in the War Years in 1942. They lost the Stanley Cup final after being up 3-0 to Toronto. And, of course, we remember, if you want to go other sports, Tony, the Yankees in 2004 being up 3-0 on the Red Sox. So, no, it's not the big. It's a huge choke. It's very disappointing in Washington, where you and I live, but it's not historically the biggest choke, not.
It's probably the biggest choke ever by a D.C. pro team. It's a bigger choke than the Redskins being crushed by the Raiders in the Super Bowl in 83, because you get to the Super Bowl at that point.
How about the Bullets in 1975, the Golden State Warriors?
Swept by Rick Barry's Golden State Warriors. But again, you're in the finals. It's not the
first round. Right.
And are we sure that Montreal was the eighth seed? Weren't they the last team in, which makes them the 16th seed? So it's like Arkansas Pine Bluff winning a game. I mean, I think that's, look, the Capitals' record in the playoffs, and we've seen every series, is horrific. Seven different times since the mid-'80s, seven times they've either been up 2-0 in a 5 or 3-1 in a 7, and they've lost. That's 21 clinching games they lost. 0-21.
It's huge, and you're disappointed because you picked the Capitals
to
win.
Yes, I did.
Wrong answer.
I thought they would win. I did.
But you know what, Tony? The President's Cup team, the number one seed in the whole thing of those 16 in the NHL, has lost five times in the last 19 years. This happens in the NHL. A hot goaltender can change that score.
Hasn't lost to a number eight team when you're up 3-1. 1 minute left, we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The Sixers reportedly contacted Doug Collins about their head coaching position. Not Larry Brown. Good fit.
Doug has great history in Philly. He loves the city. But they're not any good, the Sixers, yet. I can think of a better fit for him elsewhere. Phil Mickelson was named one of Time Magazine's most influential people. Your thoughts?
We like Phil. We're glad for him. Major League Baseball All-Star Game will use a DH at all times. No more pitchers hitting, okay, by you?
All-Star Games are about offense, hitting. We don't want to see pitchers hit. No, it's good. Fine for me. Pirates have won two in a row since you said Bud Selig should take over the team. Are you going to apologize to them?
Let them win five in a row, then I'll consider it. Bill Belichick sent Joe Maddon a personalized Patriots hoodie. You like that?
I love that. I think everybody should wear hoodies. Everybody. Well, you and I should wear hoodies. Punter Jeff Beagles reportedly plans to retire after 22 years in the NFL. You sad about that?
Yeah, 22 years is great. That's great to play in a league. Last one. Roger Goodell says the NFL will likely stay with a three-day draft format. I know you think that's a good call.
No, do it the whole month of April for April sweeps. You know, just one, the whole 30 days, the first round, one pick a
night.
Just do that.
Time, Tony.